This is Brother Gino, and I wanted to thank each and every one of you who are listening to the pastor's study today. It's certainly a blessing to have you with me today. We're going to continue our study that we've been doing on the book of 1 Corinthians. Last time we were in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 4, and we looked at those first two verses. I want us to read those again, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, the Word of God says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful." So here we see Paul is telling us, Paul was a minister of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. Now, there are seven mysteries of God in the New Testament, and these mysteries are easy to find by simply cross-referencing the word mystery. Now, last time we started to look at these mysteries of God. Last time we looked at the mystery of godliness, which is found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The mystery of godliness is God was manifest in the flesh. And then the second one we looked at was the ministry of the body of Christ in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 30 to 32. The mystery of the body of Christ is that when we are saved, we are baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ and become literal members of his flesh and his bones. We want to pick up now and look at the third mystery. And the third mystery is the mystery of the indwelling Christ. The mystery of the indwelling Christ. I want us to turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. The Word of God says this: "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, the mystery of the indwelling of Jesus Christ is that when we are saved, Jesus Christ literally dwells in us. It is a mystery, is it not? How the second person of the Trinity, who is currently seated at the right hand of God, can indwell every Christian who is alive today. When the Lord said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," he meant it literally. So we can't understand it. It's a mystery. But it's written in the words of God for us to see and to understand. Amen. We can't, with our minds, amen, our finite minds, we can't understand that, how Jesus Christ can literally indwell a believer. But it's a blessing, is it not, that we have, as believers, Jesus Christ literally indwelling each and every one of us who are born again. Amen. And we need to thank God for that. It's a blessing, it's a privilege to have the Lord Jesus Christ indwelling us. And we must remember that. Are we keeping ourselves clean for him, separate from the world? Is he welcome inside us? Is he welcome into our home? Is he welcome into our hearts? Or have we just shut him in the closet? Amen. Yeah, we've put, some of us have maybe put him in the closet. Amen. We're saved, but we don't want to let anybody know about that. Amen. But we should be living. Amen. As Paul said, that we're espoused to Jesus Christ, we make up the bride of Christ. We're espoused to him as a chaste virgin. Amen. So we know that he literally indwells us. Do our lives reflect that? Do we live before others? Do they see a difference? If Jesus is indwelling you, there should be a difference. Amen. Let's look at the fourth mystery of God. The fourth one is the mystery of the rapture. The mystery of the rapture. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. The words of God say this: Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. That's the next prophetic event on God's calendar. We're waiting for the rapture, for him to catch us up, to meet us in the air. The mystery of rapture is that Jesus Christ is part of the second coming. Will first return for all those who have been born again. The body of those who are dead in Christ will rise first. And then the bodies of those who are alive at his coming will be changed. Let us look together at some scripture that shows us and tells us and gives us some information about the rapture and what's going to take place. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let us begin together reading in verse number 50 down to verse 55. And let's see what it tells us here about God's next prophetic event for the believer. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So every believer, whether he's alive or in the grave, the Word of God says we shall all be changed. Amen. In a moment, this is how quickly it's going to take place. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So what's going to take place? Those in the grave who have died, the believers, their corruptible body will be raised incorruptible. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So we're, those folks that are there, amen, are going to be changed, all of us, from a corruptible body to an incorruptible body, from a mortal body to an immortal body. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, amen, in this mortal shall put on immortality. The corruptible are those in the grave will put on incorruption, and those who are alive, the mortal, shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up into victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So some of us may still be alive, amen, when the Lord returns. So we don't have to fear death. Death no longer has a sting to it. The grave doesn't get a victory because it's not going to keep us down. Like it, the Lord was resurrected, we will be resurrected, and we will be like him, the words of God tell us. Look it with me also in 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, and we want to look at verses 16 to 18. The words of God say this, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Lord's not going to send an angel. He's coming himself for us with a shout. There's going to be a shout with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we saw that in our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. The dead, the corruptible, are going to rise first, and they'll become incorruptible. They'll be changed. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So the Word of God tells us, you know, despite what's going on in our society today in the world, the rapture, the Lord coming for us, these words that we just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, should comfort us. Amen. Because we know, despite what's going on around us, the Lord is coming for us. Amen. And that should bring each and every one of us comfort. And if that doesn't, I don't know what could bring us comfort. Amen. But the Lord coming from us. And he's coming soon. And then in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, we read this. The Word of God says, who shall change our vile body? That's what our body is, vile, but it's going to be changed. Because we can't go and be with the Lord in a vile body, a sinful body. So it's going to be changed. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So we're going to have a glorious body as a resurrected Christ has, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, it is a mystery, because no one knows when this will happen or how this will happen. All we have is what we've read there in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and Philippians 3:21. Amen. How does God instantly change our vile bodies and fashion them like unto his glorious body? We don't know. We can't. It's a mystery. After the rapture will be the tribulation, followed by the return of Jesus Christ to rule and reign on the earth. And we'll be coming back with him. We'll be part of his army when he comes back to the earth. at the end of the tribulation. So there we have the mystery of the rapture. Now we want to look at the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians, if you would, chapter number 2, in verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. The Word of God has this to say. For the mystery of iniquity. See that? The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Amen. So, the mystery of iniquity is the spirit of Antichrist. The reason this is a mystery is that the spirit of Antichrist is already working in the earth, but people can't detect it. Look with me in 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 4, in verses 1 through 4. The words of Almighty God have this to say. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So, another reason that the spirit of Antichrist is a mystery is that when the Antichrist shows up, the world will regard him as God and not the devil. Look with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse number 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 4. The words of God say this: who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. See that? The revelation of his true identity will be withheld. Now notice with me, we go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This time we want to look at verses 6 through 8. The words of God say this: 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only who will now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And notice there in verse 8, the capital W for wicked, that wicked, meaning the Antichrist. Amen. Now, we move on, and we want to look at the next mystery. The mystery Babylon the Great. Mystery Babylon the Great. Revelation chapter 17, verse 5, the words of God have this to say: and upon her forehead was written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, in abominations of the earth. Now, Mystery Babylon, the great city, is the city of the Antichrist during the tribulation. Amen. In Revelation 17, verses 3 to 5, we read this. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven horns, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And then in Revelation 17, verse 18, in the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, the reason this city is a mystery is that Babylon was destroyed. Currently, the ruins of the ancient city are in Hilla, about approximately 53 miles south of Baghdad. Restoration is being done to Ishtar Gate and Ishtar Temple. Nevertheless, it is not the city to which John was referring. The city to which John refers in Revelation chapter 17 is like Babylon in its idolatry, political influence, global economy, yet it is a mystery. Now, many believe that Mystery Babylon is Rome because of its historical influence over kings and its lavish wealth and its idolatrous connection with Ishtar. Amen. So that's the Mystery Babylon the Great. The last one of the mysteries of God is the mystery of the blindness of Israel. The mystery of the blindness of Israel. Now, in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, Romans 11, 25, the words of God have this to say, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye would be wise in your own conceit. The blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, the mystery of the blindness of Israel is that Israel as a nation is currently blind to the fact that Jesus is their Messiah. When he was crucified at the demand of the chief priests and elders, they did not realize they were killing first their Messiah. In Matthew 13, 15, we read this. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. In their eyes they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. So they did not realize they were killing their Messiah, the Lord of glory, and the Prince of life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, we read this, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So he's called the Lord of glory, amen. And then the Prince of life. In Acts chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, But ye denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed, here it is, the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Amen. Now, many individual Jews have trusted Jesus Christ, but the nation is still blind to the truth and will be until a remnant finally accepts him as their Lord and Christ at the second coming. And then all of Israel, amen, all of Israel will be saved. In Romans 11, verses 25 to 29, we read, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that the blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, that as is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob," which is another name for Israel, "for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for their father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." And then in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, the words of God say, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more." So there's coming a day where Israel, nation of Israel, will be saved. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says that it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We must be faithful to these mysteries. Religion, false teachers, and worldly Christians have departed from these mysteries. Translators of modern Bibles have not been faithful to the mystery of godliness and have attacked the deity of Christ. Many have confused the mystery of the body of Christ by their interpretation of the church, and more believers are changing their beliefs about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And for centuries, some believers have taught that the church replaced Israel in the covenant and the Old Testament promises, not realizing that Israel's blindness will be healed when Jesus returns. Well, the time has gone by very quickly. It's all the time we have today. Brother Gino saying, "May God richly bless you," is my prayer, and good day.